Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hi, Julia.
Hey.
We're going to be talking about an interesting topic today and something that you and I, when we first met, were actually doing. Mm-hmm. Working with your spouse. And this can mean so many different things, Julia. Let me start off by just bringing you down memory lane. And I want everyone to picture this. The year is 1994. I buy my restaurant and there's a cute little blonde working there. Probably the best thing that came out of that restaurant for me. Tons of memories. But we met at the restaurant and we just worked together and it was just natural for us. And the thing that I remember most is I once called my wife lazy in a podcast and it was the funniest thing in the world. And I didn't mean it that way. When you're younger, you're more carefree. But let me tell you, she was a waitress. It was her, my brother Mark, and me on a Friday. Full dining room, 20 tables. She's answering the phone. She's sitting people. She's taking food out. She's waitressing. Probably makes 100, 150 bucks on a shift on Fridays. I'll never forget that. She was a rock star. I mean, amazing worker. And, you know, that work ethic carried into what her sole purpose ultimately, you know, became. She worked at the restaurant for a few years. And then her, I guess, goal in life, what she really wanted to do is to have children. So we broke paths and we didn't work with each other, quote unquote, at the restaurant for years. She'd come in every now and again. Then the kids started coming in. But the great thing about our relationship was she knew the pain and the struggle that I went through at the restaurant, which was great. And when I started going through other ventures and looking at other stuff, she was always very supportive of me. And without that support, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you on this podcast right now. I'd probably still be back at the restaurant, which is not a bad thing. It's just a different thing. So the reason why I bring that up is there's so many different ways that we can work with our spouses, so many different ways that we can, you know, give them help that they need or just, you know, be there for them. We're going to talk all about that. But the first thing I'd like to say is if you're considering getting into real estate or a different venture, make sure you include them. Make sure you paint the picture for your spouse, your significant other. When I got into real estate, my wife knew exactly why I was doing it. I just didn't like working at the restaurant anymore. I didn't see a future for us. I started telling her, Julia, I'm trading time for dollars. Every week, something happens, whether it's the power going out or there's a snowstorm or, you know, it's a holiday week and the restaurant's closed. It was just such a struggle for me. And I was, felt like I was in a hamster wheel. So I think I painted that picture for her. And then I also talked about financial freedom. I want you to paint a picture for your significant other if you're on here. Why are you doing this? Financial freedom ultimately comes down to time freedom. And when you get a bill, like a $5,000 dental bill, you can just think about paying it, not struggling. There's so many things that you need to tell your spouse why you're doing this. We're not ultimately doing this for money to become an entrepreneur and to get into real estate. We're doing it because we want the time freedom. We want to be able to go away and get in the car and go down south to Florida for a couple of days. We want to fly in friends from up north to come and visit us. We want to be able to afford a lot of these things. We want to be more charitable. We want to be able to choose time. We're doing a podcast at 10:30 on a Thursday morning. If I had a W-2 job, would not be possible. So time freedom is so important. Let your significant other understand it's not just about money. And I'm going to give you this quote because it's important. The quality of your life is really incumbent upon the quality of the options that you have. When you're financially free or when you're in real estate and you have time freedom, man, the quality of your life just skyrockets.
I love everything you just said. That was really nice.
Wow.
Why I usually, when I'm trying to cut in, I usually like kind of slowly move over and like let him know I'm trying to cut in, but that was awesome. And you know, it's funny because you just mentioned like two decades of our life and it's amazing what we're in a relationship where you've come from, how much you've grown together. Because back, we were just on Toastmasters last night and we were talking about, I had mentioned a story about what I learned the hard way, and that was listening to the other person instead of always assuming that you know it all. I wish I had done that younger, but at the same time, it took me to where I am now. So I don't regret that. And when I remember working with Gina back in the day, it was super fun. We had the best time. It was so fun. And then our relationship happened during that. And so here we are struggling, in a sense, struggling, but also at the same time, it was super fun working together. And now we're in a relationship and we're trying to figure out the balance between the two, because a lot of hurt feelings come in if you have ideas and you realize that, you know, he's the owner of the restaurant, but I have these great ideas. You know what I mean? There's a lot of ego that comes in play and pride. And it's, we need to learn to balance that and to say, what's important? What do I want? And Gino mentioned something super important, especially when you're working with your spouse, is to get clarity on what you're looking for. Because half the time we're not really sure. We need to get clarity on what we want to do together. And I mean, even running a household, even running a family, because a lot of issues come up and the two of you have different opinions. And so what do? You have to talk about it. You have to be open to listening to the other point of view in a calm manner, because I feel like nowadays everyone just jumps on the hurt feelings, you know, and they storm off and they can't have a discussion. Get back to having that discussion. Listen to the other person. What are they looking for? When we work together, there's a lot of times where I have to just bite my tongue because I have this great idea that I think is great, but he doesn't think so. So it's a, what do we do now? And it's a lot of humility. You have to have humility when you're working together, because like I said, there's moments where I just want to be like, forget it. I don't want to work with you anymore. And they come quite often, to be honest.
I rarely have that feeling, to be completely honest with you, because
I'm the one that bites my tongue.
I'm the more stable one, it appears, because I'm less emotional and I'm more about solving problems than creating them. If you have a problem, I don't want to hear the problem. Give me What's the solution?
Yes.
A couple of things that came out of that. If you haven't heard our podcast with Dr. Gary Chapman on the five love languages, go back to the Multifamily Zone a few shows ago and listen to that podcast, because it'll give you the ability to communicate in your spouse's or your partner's relationship language or love language. Very important that you do that. The second thing, the great Stephen Covey says, seek first to understand, then to be understood. I'm just reading a book by Arlene Pelicane. She read it. She wrote the book with Dr. Gary Chapman. We're having them on the podcast on our next show. And it's about screen time. And one of the things that being on a screen does to our youth, they have less empathy. It's a lot easier to break up with somebody or tell somebody no through a text than it is looking at your spouse and saying, can't do it. Have empathy. First, seek to understand the other side. Man, that is so powerful in a relationship. Understanding, maybe Julie can come over to me and say, Gino, you're overwhelmed. What's going on? I've got this idea, for instance, and I listen to most of her ideas. So I don't think she says, let's write a children's book. And what do? Like, listen to the Jake. I'm going to make that happen because it's a great idea. Sometimes we have quarterly priorities. It can't fit in this quarter. Let's bring it to the next quarter. So very important, everybody. I want you to write that down. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Because then Julia can say, you know, Gino, how does your schedule look? I see you've got a lot of stuff on this schedule this week and next week. Have you been really busy? You know, I've got this idea. If she comes to do that, it's very important. I think that's really important. Another thing that I like to mention about when we were working at the restaurant, years about 2009, all of a sudden I had the amazing idea, let's write a cookbook. So all of a sudden we get back to working together. And that was freaking awesome for me because I'm the visionary and she's the integrator. And the great thing about it was we really worked well together. It took about a year to write that book. And then after that, we created Gino's Family. I was literally taking weeks off from the restaurant to shoot cooking videos in my kitchen, in my house. We had a garden. I mean, it was just amazing thing. We had a physical products company. We were selling cutlery and knives and we were doing YouTube videos. And that's how we got to work together. That was right before Jake and Gino. And was it hard? Absolutely. It was obsessive. But the great thing about it, I looked at it was, we're working together. I'd rather work with my wife than a spouse than work with a total stranger. I'm sorry. That's just how I am. I want to have my relationship be obsessive between family and business. And that's what it was with the restaurant, then Gino's Family. And now Jake and Gino has morphed into something different where the kids are at all these events. And I would challenge everybody, let your spouse know about your side hustle. If you're in real estate, let them come out to MM4, October 23rd and 24th. Bring your significant other to these events. They may think, hey, Julia may think, you know, Gino, you're going to these events, you're networking, you're going out with your buddies and drinking. bring them, because it's not all fun and games. I don't like to network. I don't like to go out and drink all at, you know, at nighttime on the weekends. I'd rather have my spouse, significant other, come and experience that. Maybe they'll learn something. My wife could care less about what a cap rate is. She still doesn't understand refi and roll, and she's smarter than me, but that's not her interest. Her interest is not the real estate business, but her interest is being on this podcast, you know, growing as a couple, helping the Jake and Gino community grow. There's a lot of things there. So for me, if you're on real estate and you know, your wife is not really bought in, or your husband's not bought in, and you have a side hustle, get them out to an event. Let them come October 23rd and 24th. I'm going to leave the link in the show notes. Bring them out there, because the last thing I want a spouse to do is to get that getheritis. Because with Gino's family, it's a lot of planning. It's a couple of years before you get your business rocking and rolling. And then all of a sudden, like I did, I spent significant amounts of money. I had a wholesaler help me get source products from China, thousands of dollars, website, products, time. And I didn't want to get that getheritis. So if my significant other doesn't know what's going on in the business, they're going to say, where are the results? Well, if they're part of that process, they're going to understand there's a lot of time and a lot of effort. You can work out the why of why you're doing a business. And that's really important. And that's I think, the key to why we've been so successful. And one more thing, Julia, one thing that I found to be really important, we never forced it. And, you know, in the last year or two, we bought a couple of homes together down here. And I had the realization, I'm like, my gosh, if me and my wife got into the flipping business years ago, we would own hundreds of homes. But that would have taken away, I think, from what we have now. We have the ability that she's home. She's homeschooled the kids. We have six children. I may have had less children because we were too busy working. I would have forced her. Maybe I just look back and I go, there could have been so amazing. But that wasn't the time that God was telling us to work together. He's like, time out. You guys aren't ready to work together yet. You still have to raise the family. And that's, you know, you think about it, you ponder it. But I look back, it's addicting almost. It's only like, Jewel, we bought the house. Okay, mortgage documents. Okay, go change the water bill. Electric, you know, we're rehabbing the house. It is a lot of fun. We're working together because I have the vision. I see what can do it, but she's the integrator and she pulls a lot of stuff together and she helps me out and takes a lot of stuff off my plate that, you know, I'm focusing on other things. So just be careful. And if it's not your time yet, it's okay. It will happen organically, but she can help me out. And she's helped me out throughout the years doing a lot of different things.
Thank you, Gino. Again, I didn't interrupt because I loved it. It's interesting because I've talked to a lot of people, you know, that say, I can never work with my spouse. We don't get along in that way. We live our lives separate and then we come home and that's how they want it. Do you really want that? Is that really what you want? Because to have the support from your spouse is so amazing because you can come home and talk about it. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that. And I wonder if it's because you've never asked for it. A lot of times we just assume what the other person thinks. So we don't mention what we're doing or what our excitement is as far as if you're in real estate or whatever you're doing out there. You know, maybe you've just started or just thinking about starting. Seriously, be open with them. Would you be willing to hear me out for a minute? I just want to share with some, I have something important to share with you. Be real with them. Be clear. Because a lot of times we try to explain something, maybe when we're nervous or we're assuming that they're not interested. And we're all over the place. Like our thoughts are all over and the conversation's over and they have no idea what we're talking about because we're just not clear. So get an idea of what you want to talk about beforehand. Really write it down, get clarity and then present it and say, would you just sit and listen and hear me out for a minute? I want to talk to you. Would you be willing to be open to what I have to say? Obviously be realistic and just ask for their support. Ask for them if they're interested in helping even a little bit. Like Gino said, there were years, you know, lots of pregnancies, lots of babies. And it was a real challenge. When we did Gino's family, I remember this 9 months pregnant, sitting there holding the cameras, trying to walk down to the garden, taking video of Gino. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing?
I'm like, what are you doing?
Like, why are you taking so long? I'm like, I'm coming. And like Laura was born 2 weeks later. You know, and I could have sat there and be like, no, I'm not doing it. Sorry, you're on your own. But he was so excited about it. And so I struggled and it was painful and it was exhausting. But you know what? it's a sacrifice that we have to show each other that we're willing to sacrifice for them. And I would do it again in a second, and I'll do it always. And that's so important, is that putting the other person first, because when you're putting them first, they're hopefully at some point going to put you first. And sometimes it takes a little long, but it will happen.
That's a perfect segue to what I have to say about that. When if you're considering doing this, you need to work your ass off. There's no excuses. See, my wife, I expected a lot from her because I expected a lot from myself. Mm-hmm. I was working 10, 11 hours a day at the restaurant, and top of doing this, writing the book, growing a garden, doing cooking videos, sourcing products, learning how to be on camera. I was spending hours and hours and hours a week trying to hone the craft and trying to get better. And I didn't expect any less of myself. When we got into Jake and Gino, Julia helped us write the first book, uploading and create space. This was years ago, doing all that work. But you know, Jake and I took us months and months to write that book. So that's the way I look at it. If you're going to work with your spouse, you need to be the leader in working hard, and they will take a cue from you. That's why she did that. That's why she struggled it. And you know, Julia mentioned something before as she was speaking. If you don't want to work together, that's okay also. Just be clear about it. But if you never try, you'll never know. Let me give you a couple of tips that may make it easier for you to work together. Because sometimes we start out, we don't know where to start or how to start. And I'm going to guarantee you, you know, the family that works together, the family that prays together, the family that does things together, they stay together and they grow together. They have amazing memories. I have amazing memories from Gino's family, almost more than I have from the restaurant, because I remember doing it every day. We took a whole week off during Thanksgiving that week before. And people like, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm going into my kitchen and I'm shooting videos. And we shot all the videos for the cookbook. And we had the most amazing, I had lobster, we had shrimp, we had steak, we had all different stuffed artichokes, everything in the recipe, broccoli rabe. It was an amazing week. I will never forget that. And my kids still talk about that week. It was an amazing thing. First thing though, that you need to do, you start working with your spouse, you need to create roles and responsibilities. Remember, it's a business. So start trying to systematize it. What do I mean by that? Well, if Gino and Julia are going to be buying a home, what is Gino's responsibilities? My responsibilities would lie with being the visionary, talking to the brokers, negotiating the deal, raising the capital if I had to, doing the front end, the marketing, and working and trying to get that deal closed and negotiated. On the back end, Julia's responsibilities, when I call her, I say, Jewel, we need to get, you know, money transferred. Can you go to the bank? Can you deal with escrow? Can you deal with some of the vendors? Can you deal with utility companies? Can you deal with all the back end stuff, the integrator stuff, the stuff that sometimes I'm too busy doing and I can't spend time doing that? My value is locking in that deal, doing the negotiation, and taking that broker out to lunch, because that broker is going to send me deals. So roles and responsibilities are very, very, very important. And you know, you try to stay in each other's lanes, but sometimes Julia might get sick, so I got to call the utility company. So be flexible about it, but try not to step on Julia's toes and try not to have her step on my toes. But that's about, comes back to ego. You know, I can look at it and say, Julia, stay in your own lane, but that's my own ego. And I'll give you a perfect example. We had this children's book that's coming out for Jake and Gino. So she had this amazing idea, and I'm like, oh, I just don't have the time for this. And guess what? It's in production. It's coming out at MM4. But I needed help with it. And I'm really good at starting a project, but then I sort of lose the momentum. Once it's done, I want to get on to the next project, which is a good thing and a bad thing. So I needed her to help me, remind me to, let's email them. Let's see what the process looks like. Let's see what the characters look like. We have creative caterpillar, responsible rhino. I mean, it's just amazing, right? Pity Party Penguin, the three characters. Pity Party Pig, I'm sorry. And you see, she's the integrator. And we just got one of the final copies back, but there's a lot of work. It's a 5-month project. So I need her as the integrator helping me out with that project. We just emailed them last night to see where they were. Dinosaur House, they're going to be a sponsor at MM4. So they're going to be at MM4. So getting that copy out, making sure that they're coming, making sure that the storyboard is done. The launch is, you know, beginning of October. There's a lot of work. So the integrator and visionary need to work together. And that's really, really important. Your roles and responsibilities, especially early on. And what I would say about that is, what do you like doing? I personally don't like talking utility companies and working online. I think my value more is talking to the brokers, getting out there, negotiating the deals, underwriting the deals, talking to the banks about financing. That's where my value, and that's what I like to do. figure out what you like to do, and what your significant other likes to do, and try to split up those roles and responsibilities.
Yeah, that's excellent. I love that. I can't wait for that book to come out. Super excited. So come to MM4 and check it out because it's going to be amazing. See, that's my, you know, all the other books Gino has, The Honeybee was pretty good. Will Our Profits, all that's all
pretty
fun.
Good. How
but
about that?
This good. Is amazing because this is cartoon like and it's super fun.
So it's for 7 to 10 year olds. And yeah. What we wanted to do is we wanted to create a book about, I don't want to say money, but about financial education. Mm-hmm. And how do you get a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old to actually read something? Well, Dinosaur House has done an amazing job. They've made it fun. You know, there is a bakery. And Pity Party Pig is baking and the baking cannolis in the oven. It blows up. Cannoli cream everywhere. That's something that a kid's going to enjoy. And then we have the responsible rhino. They all lose their jobs then. The responsible rhino goes out and he goes and he looks to, you know, goes and looks and he's responsible. He finds a job. He starts working. He actually invests and buys in a building. Then we have Creative Caterpillar who's out there. And what Creative Caterpillar does, he's the entrepreneur. He's out there trying new ventures. He's trying to make a lemonade stand. That doesn't work. And then eventually he connects with Responsible Rhino and they get into business together. And then you see Pity Party Pig making these unwise choices. All of a sudden he's unemployed. What does he do? He goes out and he buys a TV and he spends money that he doesn't have. And it's really giving kids choices. And it's so much fun. It's an enjoyable story, but you have to make it fun for 7 to 10 year olds. There's going to be coloring at the end of the book, but there's that message involved with, hey, what happens when something happens to you in life? These three characters, how do they each face that challenge? And which one do you want to be? It's always thought provoking for kids, but making it a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it. Love it. You know, it's a challenge to work together, but there's more happiness and joy that comes out of it. If you choose to see it. And that's, we talked about mindset many times on this podcast, in our coaching. And it's so important that you put that mindset toward your relationship as well. And what I mean is a lot of times we're like, no way, I can't work with my husband. And then we list all the negative characteristics of him. Learn to switch that brain and focus on the good aspects of the person first. Because when you do that, you're more grateful for them. You notice all the goodness of that person first. And when you do that, then you could focus on, okay, what do we need to work on? And then you realize that there's more good than there is bad. Because a lot of the times we really do focus and we get stuck in the negative. And it really affects all of our relationships, ourselves, our happiness, the ability to be joyful. So I just encourage you, every relationship, but especially your, you know, marriage, look at the other person and see the good in them first. If you want to just sit quietly somewhere and just write out all the things that you love and respect from that person and the qualities they have, and you'll notice how many they have that you don't notice. So start noticing.
And one way you can start noticing, I wish I had done this, but I didn't know. Go out and hire a life coach. For me, back in 2009, I hired my first coach. Never did that before. Maybe 2008. I wanted to write a cookbook. I didn't know how to start. And that life coach, Jim, big shout out to Jim Riley. He said, write one page a day. And that changed my life because for some reason, the simplest advice was like one page a day. At the end of 6 months or 8 months, you've got a cookbook. And I was able to digest that. And what I should have done was maybe we should have gotten some coaching on our relationship as far as the business aspect of it. Invest $700,000, $1,500 on a life coach to work with you. What their job is to raise your level of energy, to engage you, and to ask you these thought-provoking questions that Julie is talking about on the thing. What would it look like? Let's paint an amazing picture. Mm-hmm. You're going to get excited. Hey, Julia, what would it look like to work together? And I can answer that. You know, Jewel, it'd be amazing. We'd be able to do podcasts. You'd be able to come to the Jake and Gino events. We'd be able to go on vacation whenever we wanted to. You start painting that picture of the possibilities. All of a sudden, your mind starts saying to yourself, well, how do we make that happen? Mm-hmm. Instead of just sitting there and not knowing anything, a life coach can really help you out and give you that clarity because we don't lack motivation, everybody. We lack the clarity. Mm-hmm. And the fear comes. And fear is another really strong emotion. When we're in fear mode, it's very hard to take action. I was never in fear when I started these other companies. I was more of an anger. I remember being angry at my situation and saying, you know, if I fail, I fail. I just have to try something different. Get out of that fear state, and hiring a coach will get you out of the fear state. If they do a really good job, they'll raise your level of energy. They'll raise the possibilities. They'll ask you questions that you know deep inside the answer to, but no one's spoken to you before. And sometimes maybe do it with your significant other, because it may be hard to do these brainstorming sessions with your significant other, because sometimes, you know, they have an attachment to the outcome. You want somebody who's detached and who's asking you the tough questions. You may not ask your spouse the tough questions, but you're going to get those tough questions asked by a life coach.
Yeah, definitely open that communication, because that is a life changer. A lot of us are just afraid of what the reaction will be. So we assume in our head how it's going to be and we avoid it. I just encourage you, just start opening up little by little, you know, plan it ahead. Like I said, get clarity, be open about it, be real about it, and just start asking if your spouse would be willing to hear you out.
From that fateful day on May 17th, 1994, was the first day that I walked into the kitchen of the restaurant, and I see this attractive, beautiful little blonde girl at the time. And I say to myself, this is going to be interesting. The restaurant was difficult for those first 6 months working there. We closed down. I remember reopening. She came back to the post-opening in 1995. We dated, ultimately got married in 1998, worked together those years. And ever since then, our relationship has grown and we've continued to work together. And it's only going to get better by working together. So I challenge everybody out there, if you have the opportunity to work with your significant other in any way, go for it.
Love that, Gino.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Appreciate you all.
See you next time.